During the early years of my spiritual journey, I used a very simple analogy to help me grow in my prayer life, in my relationship with God. I would often think of my heart as a home. So, like every other home, I would think of my heart having a living room, a dining, kitchen, bedrooms, basement, even an attic. And in each of these rooms, there were closets where I put things that I wanted and some things that I didn't want anyone else to see. Closets are great places. Talking about my heart as a house, it was easy to let Jesus into the living room. Because generally you keep your living room clean. That's where people come in and you want to keep it clean. And I would be very happy if Jesus just stayed there. I had all kinds of restrictions for Christ. Please, God, do not come into my bedroom. It's not always made. It's not always clean. And the closets in my bedroom, please, never open those. You don't know what's going to fall out of it, right? You do not want to see the things I collect in these closets. And of all things, do not turn on the TV. I don't want you to see the channels I see. Don't. Please don't look around the room. And a final no-no, no lifting the mattress and looking what's underneath that. Right? It was as if Jesus and I could live in the same house but have pretty independent lives. And so I decided that one day, you know what, I'm going to clean up my closet. I'm going to clean up my life. Jesus, you can walk in any way you want, and I want to feel comfortable about it. And it felt good. Life felt cleaner. But in spite of doing this, there was something still missing. Something missing. God, I've done everything I think I should do, but what is it that you want me to do more? And I think this is where Christ was taking me. It was no longer my house. It's as if the Lord wanted me to sign off my name and put His name on my house. It's as if my life did not belong to me. My heart, my home, everything that I have was God's. One of the very simple analogies that helped me to understand my priesthood, and perhaps one of the experiences of life that helped me to then make a total surrender of my life to this way, to the priesthood. My life is no longer mine. Christ, it is yours. As I said, this analogy helped me to enter into a new level in my relationship with God. And I think that's exactly what today's gospel reading does. It's one of those passages where Jesus takes the disciples to the next level of relationship. And Jesus outlines a three-dimensional relationship. The Father in me, I in you, you in me. See, thus far, Jesus was with the disciples. He was among them. He ate with them. He drank with them. He laughed with them. He cried with them. He was with them. And the word with has a certain amount of movement attached to it. Jesus is moving with them. But then Jesus takes them to the next level of relationship. He said, no more am I going to be with you, I am going to be in you. So this is how it sounds, the words of Jesus. The Father in me, I in you, you in me. The Greek word en denotes a relation of rest. This means a qualitative change in the kind of relationship that the Father and Jesus and the disciples have. From now on, Jesus will rest in them. Not just with them, He will rest in them. And He invites them to rest in Him. And I think this is what Peter means by saying, sanctify Christ as the Lord of your hearts. The analogy that I used in my own life, my heart being this home where Christ can rest. I can find my rest in Him. So I want to offer three practical implications from this understanding of Scripture, this new level of relationship that Christ is taking His disciples to. The very first implication I take once again from the words of Peter, who says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Now we understand that. We understand that Christ is saying, that Peter is saying, let Christ be the very core of your being. Let Christ be at the very center of your lives. Let Christ be in you. But the question is, how? How can we accomplish that? How can we do this? We can learn much from our relationship with one another as we try to bring Christ into our lives. Think about your most important relationships. Your spouse, maybe. Your best friend, maybe it's a son, a daughter, a parent. Every relationship becomes important. Every relationship becomes meaningful if people decide to invest serious amount of time and energy into that relationship. If we don't put time and energy into a relationship, that relationship will never grow to the potential that it could. The same thing applies to Christ. If we want Christ to move into the very center of our being, if we want Christ to be the source and summit of our lives, we must be prepared to invest time and energy into that relationship. Believe me, without investing time into our relationship with Christ, this relationship will not grow to the potential that it has. Christ will never be in us. We will not be able to rest in God. So the statement I'm making is, the depth of our relationship with Christ is in direct proportion to the time and energy we are willing to spend on that relationship. You get it? The depth of our relationship with Christ is in direct proportion to the time and energy we are willing to spend on that relationship. But the great doctors of the church will tell you this is only the start, it's only the beginning. John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, all these great doctors of the church would say, once you learn to rest in Christ, then God takes you on your own spiritual journey. God opens to you the wisdom and the understanding that only God can give. In other words, every relationship becomes a very unique relationship with God. But the starting point is learning to rest in God, to spend time and energy with Christ in prayer. That's my first point. Secondly, Peter says to his community, always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. So be prepared to give witness. However, he says, do it with gentleness and reverence. The second advice from Peter is a logical step of his first advice. Once again, there's much to learn from our relationships. Those of you who probably fell in love for the very first time, right? If you've ever been deeply in love, you know how it changes life. Changes the way you think, it changes your behavior, it changes how and where you spend time, right? People, when a relationship affects us, it begins to change us. The same thing applies to Christ. When Christ rests in us, when we rest in Christ, our behavior and our attitudes change automatically. We don't have to go about preaching the rapture, predicting the end, pronouncing judgment or condemnation. There is too much religiosity today that is very intolerant, that's very condemning, that's very self-righteous. And you meet those people on television and in your face all the time. People who think religion is one way to do it, and if you don't do it that way, you're wrong. There's too much of that. Peter, on the other hand, he says, give explanation for your hope, but do it with gentleness and reverence. In other words, when we have genuinely sanctified Christ in our lives, when God rests in us and we rest in God, it will show itself in kindness, in gentleness, in compassion, in forgiveness, in patience, in love, in selflessness, in generosity, and in courage in the face of suffering. Our behavior, our attitudes must bear witness to the Christ who rests in us. That's what Peter's saying. Third, Peter gives a third word of advice. He says, it is better to suffer for doing good. Hear that? It is better to suffer for doing good than to do evil. One of the most contemporary, one of the most prominent marks of contemporary society is the willingness to retaliate evil with evil. We kill easily to make the point that killing is wrong. We enter into conflict way too easily to make the point that conflict is undesirable. Our patience to suffer for doing what is good is becoming more and more limited. So when someone maligns our name, or disrespects us, or does harm, we find it very hard to return the evil with good. The best thing to do is to hit back right away in more harmful ways than the person who did harm to us originally. And Peter's saying to his community today, he said, a genuine sign that Christ rests in us is our commitment to the good, even at the cost of suffering evil. A clear sign that we rest in Christ is that we are committed to the good and willing to pay the price for it. So this week at work, when a co-worker gets on your nerves, or at home when a family member tries your patience, or at school a classmate makes fun of you, or when you get inclined to lie, to judge, or to condemn, allow the Christ who rests in you to lead you to peace. Be prepared to give witness to the peace and hope in you, even at the cost of suffering evil. So three very simple points, huh? Peter is saying, be prepared to invest your time and energy into Christ. Make sure it shows forth in your behavior and in your attitudes. Most of all, let it show in your commitment to the good at the cost of evil. three very simple points. I pray that when you go back home, you will think about these things. Pray. Pray that Christ may indeed rest in your hearts. That Christ may be sanctified as the Lord of your hearts. Let me conclude by merely saying this. For us Catholics, this concept of Christ in me and I in Christ is so much more simpler because of the Eucharist. Isn't it wonderful that we can and on this altar find Christ in a very simple and humble way, and that we can come before Christ, receive and say, Amen, Lord, and we can actually receive Christ and get Christ into the very depth of our being. How fortunate is that? And that we can find union with Christ and rest in Christ. Let us pray that we who now receive Christ into us will be prepared to enter into this new level of our relationship with Christ. May Christ indeed be the Lord of our hearts. And the people of God said,